everyone. In the following podcast, you'll hear the edited audio of Sienna's live Instagram interview with Rhiannon Faith, the day after her show Drowntown Lockdown premiered online. Drowntown Lockdown explores the isolation faced by residents of British seaside towns, and Rhiannon shares her thoughts on how we can face disappointments in light of COVID-19. I hope you enjoy.
So my name is Rhiannon Faith. I'm the artistic director of Rhiannon Faith Company. We're a dance theatre company that create work devised autobiographical dance theatre, and we tour the UK with the shows that we create. Try and make shows that make a difference in the world. Think about issues that we think might make a change, and make shows about important things in society.
Definitely. Thank you. So you mentioned that Drowntown Lockdown was streamed last night. It was the premiere. So how would you describe this show for someone who is kind of entering blind into this interview?
So Drowntown Lockdown is a film that we recently made while in lockdown. So it took about 5 days with the cast. And the cast that I was working with, we've created a stage show called Drowntown. That's the main show. And of course, because of COVID, we were due to premiere at the Barbican this spring and have a UK tour, but that had to be cancelled. So we kind of just thought, what can we do to replace, I guess, that the time for the artists that were going to be involved in that, the pay for them so that they didn't go without. But what could we do creatively as a response to not being able to do the live show? Because we're looking forward to all getting together again and going on the road. We've been working on Drowntown for the last year and a half probably, so it's been a kind of a long process, and the show's about brokenness and isolation, loneliness, and broken communities, and not being able to feel like you belong. So we thought about those themes and thought, how can we, you know, create something brand new? We weren't trying to recreate Drowntown at all, because, you know, we've had such a long process making that, and there's emotional depth to it that all of the performers have experienced and discovered in the creation. So we thought, what can we do in a short amount of time that is still exciting and creative and means we can all be together in some capacity, so we can all be connected again? So pretty much that's kind of where Drowntown Lockdown came from. And I am by no means a filmmaker. And, you know, it's not my intention to, come across as someone trying to be a filmmaker, but I was fortunate enough to know a really great filmmaker called Adam Sheldon of Big Egg Films, and he took us under his wing and really supported us and supported the performers in trying to make a home movie, pretty much. That's what it was.
So that was actually something I was reflecting on while I was watching it last night, because you see the actors in their homes, or the characters' homes, and playing their characters in Drowntown Lockdown, and I was thinking, wow, like, these are actors and dancers who might not have been trained in film. What was that creative process like as a director or a choreographer? If you've written the show, you've had this idea and concept, and then how to execute it in lockdown with actors isolating, what was that like?
Well, I'm very, very fortunate, Sienna, that my team are just really brilliant. So the performers that I have are just, they just ran with it, really. So I didn't really have to do that much other than kind of coordinate it all and, you know, try and offer my direction. But because they have been working for so long on the people that arrive on the beach in the stage show and what those people are, they're, I guess, an exaggeration of each of the selves anyway. So the performers don't really have to put on an act as such. It's, you know, it's just a kind of, it's the self on stage. Whereas in their environments, in their homes, there are, I guess, new yeah, things that they have to consider, and they're being very vulnerable and opening up their, you know, sacred and safe space to a public. But really, in order to make them feel comfortable filming, they, you know, had great direction from the film director, Adam, and really they just had to be themselves. So they had to just keep being themselves, keep true and honest to their experiences and their authenticity, and just try and capture that as much as they can. I think for the performers, it was more complicated to work out how to use their phones to film than it was how to be the person behind the camera. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm thinking about kind of the themes that you explore within Drowntown. You say it focuses on loneliness and isolation, which are obviously very prevalent during the pandemic. So how did you go about researching this piece kind of before anyone knew about COVID? Like, what was that like? How did you go about researching, and how did that form the play and the choreography?
Cool. Yeah, it's really funny that it is so, there's such a parallel now between the themes that we started with a couple of years ago and how we find ourselves now in this situation. I think that we started a while ago asking questions about people in communities that felt like they were invisible in some way, or that they were being let down by the systems that kind of are in place in those communities, and people that felt like they, I don't know, just didn't have a voice. Mm. And we looked into deprivation in places. So we looked at coastal towns and coastal environments that have quite a significant, high number of homelessness and addiction. In the winter months, in the times where you know, it's not a happy holiday destination, everyone's had that and gone home for the summer, and then in the winter months where things are closed, you know, it can become quite you know, bleak. And we were talking, we interviewed some members of coastal communities that were perhaps in recovery or perhaps felt lonely, and they would just talk to us and tell us their experiences. They would talk about how they would try and find community, and that might be going to a betting shop, or it might be going to visit the arcades, and then getting into a habit. But in order to find human connection, that felt like it was more important. And we visited loads of coastal environments. We were lucky enough to visit some people in recovery that kind of worked creatively to get through their recovery in Brighton, and they were kind enough to give us some time and talk to us. And I guess we went from there, and then the members of the cast that are part of Drowntown, we were looking then at their own autobiographical stories of feeling, you know, times of isolation or grief, and feeling shame or feeling vulnerable and alone. And I guess that's kind of where the themes then developed. I think it was been a really long process. I spent a week in a caravan in Jaywick, and I spent some time in Great Yarmouth and in Brighton, and visited lots of places to try and, you know, get a feel of what the world of Drowntown might be, that it should be quite you know, derelict, and it should be quite dark, because that's what reflects the world at the moment. If you are a person in a situation that doesn't have help and can't access the help that you need.
Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of fascinating to how the themes have developed, and how we can see that kind of both in Drowntown, which might premiere later when theatres reopen, and obviously Drowntown, which is a digital edition. So thinking about how you've put on Drowntown Lockdown, and would it be right to call it a prologue, maybe, of Drowntown?
Absolutely, yeah. We didn't want to, I guess, say that this is a stage show, because the stage show had took so much work and is very rich and has a lot of emotional life within it. And yeah, is something of its own. It has its own world. So again, it was just I guess a dynamic response, like what can we do to keep us connected and keep us together. So yeah, a prologue, we see the characters and the performers in their own environments. We see just a glimpse, I guess, the starting points of the feelings that are attached to symptoms of loneliness or sickness, yeah, and wanting to kind of get out and go somewhere. So we kind of thought, let's see them before they arrive on the beach, which is where Drowntown, the stage show, starts. So let's see them there.
Thank you. Amazing. So Drowntown, the stage show, was obviously supposed to be touring at the moment if the pandemic hadn't have hit. This was cancelled. So as a theatre maker and someone who's obviously cared a lot about this show for, as you say, like 1.5 years, and it's something that you've been very invested in, how have you then kind of overcome that disappointment of not having Drowntown on, although you have obviously made this new digital edition? Do you have any advice for people who have faced disappointments, things that have been cancelled, things that they've been looking forward to that haven't been able to happen? How have you kind of faced those disappointments, and do you have any advice for young people on that front?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think that perhaps the whole of the theatre and dance industry felt a massive loss of not being able to do the thing that they do, that gives them purpose and meaning. I think that for me, it kind of was I guess a process of, like, it's like grief. It's like you have something that you are really looking forward to, and it is, then removed, and you have to go through that process of being a bit angry about it, being sad about it, pretending it's not really happening. I think for ages I was just like, oh, I'm sure that it will still go on. I'm sure that in a couple of months everything will be fine. And yeah, but I think that's a normal process for anyone who has lost something. And really, this is, it's just theatre. So there is so much more that, I could have been upset about. I'm very lucky that all my family are okay, and I know that so many people have lost, people in their lives due to this pandemic, which is, just so devastating. So I guess, yeah, advice for young people, I feel like, it's normal if you feel sad, and I think it's good to know that lots of people have felt disappointed and sad. I think there's lots of really great things that theatres are doing in the meantime to try and keep young people engaged, especially. I know that Harlow Playhouse, where I'm an associate artist, they have a company called Livewire, which are the youth company, and I think they have really tackled, this isolation really well, and social distancing. They've made a full-length feature film, and that was made by the young people. I tuned in and watched it yesterday, before my film went on, and it was just brilliant to see so many young people being so, dynamic in their responses, and just kind of bringing energy to what can be an upsetting situation. So keep going and like have hope that it's going to be okay. It's, we'll put the show on next year, that's fine. And as long as everyone is okay, it's fine. Theatre and dance will continue. I mean, we need to keep working to save our theatres and, make sure that everyone in the industry feels like they're part of a community. I think that's really important. And I think young people can go to venues who are really trying to do lots of radical and exciting programs so that we don't feel like we're lost. Yeah. So I'd say get in touch with your local theatre or dance house and see if there's something that you can join in with there.
That's wonderful. We've had a question on live tour dates. So this person asks, are there live tour dates planned for the future? And if so, will Drowntown be coming to the Midlands?
I'm currently in the Midlands actually, and we were scheduled to go in autumn to Mac to do it there. So yes, we're touring next year. I mean, we are just waiting for the green light, as a lot of theatres are waiting for the green light, but everything has been rescheduled. So from March onwards, That is when we're planning to tour, and that will be a spring tour and an autumn tour. But of course, I can only say that much really. So I would say just keep an eye on our website. It's www.riannafaith.com, because there will be updates there. As much as we can do, as quickly as we can, we'll update. But fingers crossed, March we'll be ready to go.
Awesome, very exciting. Wonderful. So, you mentioned that during the research process, you kind of visited different towns. And I've seen that when you plan to tour again, you're going to plan some kind of community engagement interactions. And you talk about Drowntown solo stories and virus vulnerabilities. Can you tell us a little bit more about these engagement projects and what you plan to do with them?
We've renamed it. Was called Solo Stories when we were on tour, but we've renamed it hashtag virus vulnerabilities, and we're trying to, I guess, create a community of people that come and see Drowntown, not only just to come and watch the show, but to feel like they have a part in it in a way. So we have created, well, we templated ages ago, a community project which now we have made digital. So it was going to be a member of our cast would go and work with community groups, and that would be local to the tour venue. So either groups within charities or youth groups, anyone that wanted to be involved really. And we're now putting it all online. So you can go to my website and see virus vulnerabilities, and there are lots of videos of creative tasks that our fabulous company member Nikki is leading. And she takes you through one of the processes that I did with my cast when we were creating Drowntown. And it's about creative writing. It's about giving yourself maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours of getting in a creative zone and doing some writing around the themes of the show, and then turning that writing into movement that can go alongside it, and then having a minute worth of material that you can stand and perform into your phone, a little bit like my dancers did at home when we were filming Drowntown Lockdown, and film yourself doing your own solo stories. And once you've done that, you can upload it to our website, and we're going to then play all of those videos on our tour. So in the foyer of all of our venues that we go and visit, we're going to put up everyone's virus vulnerabilities, and then you can come and you can see yourself in the theatre in some respects and feel part of the community of Drowntown, because the show's all about belonging and connectedness and community. And so we're trying to create our own Drowntown community around the show. So please, if you're a bit bored at home and you want something to do, you've got a few hours to kill, then go online. Nikki is really lovely and very gentle, and you can do it all at once, or you can come back to it in your own time, and by the end you'll have a piece of art that you have created and put it on the website, and everyone can see it, and it's great.
Wonderful, that's very exciting. And we've just had another question. And this person asks, are you looking beyond Drowntown yet? Any plans for the next show?
Oh yeah, I mean, everyone keeps asking me that at the moment, and it's look because I have had time to think about it, I guess. We're definitely having thoughts about what's next. I think it will be again a response to the pandemic, so we have to think carefully about how we reach our audiences. I know with the new guidelines of theatre and dance and what we are able to do, I'm going to be thinking about what can I make artistically that serves, I guess, that, and then serves the work that I'll be making. There is a title, but this is the first time I've said it out loud, but it's called Rat Parker Symphony. So that is the new piece that I will be going into research for towards the end of the year. And it will probably take me a year or so to make it. But then, hopefully after Drowntown has toured, it should be ready. So fingers crossed.
Thank you for sharing the title. Wonderful. Okay, so thinking about now that the Drowntown Lockdown has premiered, What do you hope the audience will kind of gain from this? You talk about a sense of connectedness and community, and also when Drowntown tours next year, what do you hope the audience will gain from watching it and going to watch the stage show?
I always think about the audience when I'm making the show. I mean, you can't ever predict what they're going to get from it and how valuable it will be to them. But I do really hope that they are able to, I guess, see the people that we're talking about in their everyday lives. You know, we're wanting to put ideas on stage that look at people that are marginalised and focus on people that aren't always seen. So I guess we want to offer visibility. We want to contribute to the great work that a lot of charities do to highlight issues in society where, you know, people are vulnerable and aren't receiving enough support. And yeah, I guess it's just about waking up and looking at society, looking at those in society that perhaps aren't as fortunate or don't feel like they're valued in some way, and offering them support. We're very, very fortunate that we have so many lovely neighbours that have really cared for us. I've just had a baby, so sometimes it was quite difficult in during lockdown. My baby got a fever, so we had to stay in and isolate, and our neighbours really cared for us. And you know, I think it's just about asking the audience to come and watch to offer care to people in their communities. I'm sure they're doing that already, but sometimes it's nice to think about what that might look like and how you might do that, and who are the people that perhaps we're not thinking about all the time.
Thank you. That's really lovely. And I'm sure after yesterday's premiere that people will be thinking about that more, because vulnerability is something that I felt came through a lot. And I think it's important to kind of introduce that during a time when we're exiting lockdown. So I think that's very important. So thank you for sharing.
How have you been doing in the lockdown?
I've been doing well. I'm lucky to have all my family around me. I think it's difficult for people who have been living alone, either elderly or for other people who don't have family around them. So I'm lucky to have had family, I think. Yeah, thank you for asking. My next question is, moving away from Drowntown, but just thinking about what you have been enjoying during lockdown, whether you've been reading anything or watching or listening anything in particular that you might recommend to our audience.
I have been listening to a podcast when I take my baby girl for a walk. It's called Joan and Jerrica. It's on Spotify and it makes me laugh out loud. It's very funny. It's by two brilliant women writers, and they improvise a lot while they're doing it, and it's really, really funny. So I'd say check that out. Films, I guess Truman Show is back on Netflix, and I really love that film. It's actually quite poignant now, that idea of feeling like watched or feeling like blocked in some way, like you can't really get out. So I think it draws lots of parallels. What else have I been watching? I've not really had that much time to watch telly, to be honest, because I've had a little one on my hands. I'd say Truman Show, and RuPaul, his All Stars is back on Netflix. So that keeps me, when I'm awake at night, that keeps me going.
Thank you. So this is my last question for today. It's just how people can find out more about you, and if they would like to watch Drowntown Lockdown and find out more about Drowntown, where can they go?
We're here on Instagram, and we're on Facebook and on Twitter as well, at Rhiannon Faith on Twitter. But you can also visit rhiannonfaith.com. online, and that's our website. It has all the information about Drowntown Lockdown. The film is there now, so after the premiere last night, we've left the film on our website. It's also on the Barbican Centre's website, and we'll be there for a short period of time. Virus Vulnerabilities is also on the website, so if you do go and visit, go and check it out, even if you're not sure whether you want to commit to doing a creative process. Go and have a look and see, because you might you might go, oh, maybe, and then give it a go.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rhiannon. It's been fascinating.
Thanks for having me. It's lovely to chat to you, Sienna.
Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as voicemaguk. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors release the Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you like this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work in computech.com. Tom Innes was the executive producer.